Let's just bow for prayer. Dear Father, we do come to you again this morning, thanking you, Lord, for meeting our needs in the way that you have already. We ask now that you would just bless this time before us. Bless us with your word and with your character and your very attributes in our lives, Lord. May they become more clear, and may we be a more accurate representation of who you are, Lord, to the world around us. Just pray that you bless each one of us here together. Pray for a clarity of thoughts and words, Lord, that I could share what you've laid in my heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Greeting you this morning in Jesus' name. My thoughts have been lifted up this morning in our praise and worship to God. This morning, I would like to speak a little bit on the topic of reflecting Christ's image or Christ's light to the world around us. As an opening scripture, I would like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and read a very common scripture to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10 says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." This morning, I'd like to just consider that the subject of reflecting the light of Jesus in or through our lives. As a little diagram, I just I drew a tiny picture of what our solar system kind of looks like. It's not the scale at all, but we have the sun and we have the earth there in the center, and we have the moon on the backside of the earth. So we'll keep that in mind this morning as we share on this subject. We'll talk about that a little more in a few minutes here. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Some beautiful verses in this chapter. I was going to read the whole chapter, so I will try to do it rather quickly, but I think it's a wonderful chapter to read here. It's starting in verse 1. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and have showed when there was no stranger. I'm sorry, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as a tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. I know that's kind of a long chapter to read there, but verse 21 was a verse that really stood out to me here in this chapter. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. There's a lot of expounding that could be done on the rest of the verses, but I'd like to consider that this morning. We have been formed for God's own glory, to proclaim His glory to the world around us, that we can show forth His praise. I would like to use the example of the moon this morning for just a moment here to consider Genesis. We can read in Genesis chapter 1 how God created the sun, moon, and stars. I just read those verses here. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So just want to consider the moon this morning. A question for some of the younger children. Does the moon produce its own light? I think most of us would know this answer. But no, the moon does not produce its own light. The moon only reflects the light that is shown upon it. In John chapter 5, a couple of verses that just came to my mind as I considered this subject. Verse here in John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. That verse came to me as I considered the moon reflecting the light of the sun. That's not exactly the way that I want to look at it this morning, in the way of Jesus there, but that verse did come to me. Instead, let's turn over to John chapter 3. This is a passage talking about John the Baptist. Starting in verse 22, read a couple verses here as well. John chapter 3. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a questioning between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I like that picture of John there being a witness and a testimony for Jesus. He came before Jesus to prepare the way for him. In Colossians chapter 1, find it here. Here it is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think we'll just read verse 28 here as well. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So I'd like to just give a few examples and pictures here of our life in comparison to the moon, and how that has blessed me this last while. Last week or two, I've been watching the moon as it comes up, and there's something special about that as we see the timely manner and the phases, different phases of the moon that it goes through. And it's amazing to me that the moon and the sun are very similar in size in the sky. Yet we are told and we know that they're very different in size. It's just the distance that they are from the earth. But the sun is so much farther away, and the power of the sun is just amazing, the intense heat and light that it produces. They say that the sun is approximately 400 times greater in size, actually, than the moon. And it just made me think of our Lord Jesus in that sense. The intensity, the power that is represented in the life of Jesus. And we think of the different phases of the moon go through, and at times we don't see the moon at all. And it's simply because of the position that the moon is around the earth, and how at times the moon can actually be in front of the earth, and therefore we don't see it. During the day, we basically don't see it at all. Occasionally, if you're watching at the right time, you would actually be able to see it. But just a picture of being in the right position to reflect the light to us on the earth, and how everything has to be just right. It's timed just right for us to be able to see the moon in that way. Because the moon goes through phases in its orbit around the earth, that's why we see the crescent moon and different phases of the moon at times. And then just likening that to us as Christians, being the moon and reflecting light to those around us, even so, we as followers of Christ will experience times of dimness and coolness if we aren't beholding the Son of Righteousness. And I was just considering that sometimes in our own lives, we'll find ourselves a little bit out of tune with Jesus Christ. And the big difference that that makes on our reflection of Jesus to those around us. We must be in direct line of sight in order to receive a full, clear revelation of Jesus Christ. And if there's anything comes between us, it's going to very quickly affect that amount of light. We'll see that a little bit later, how much it can actually affect it. If we allow this world to come between us, we will no longer display a true Christ likeness. If we think about it, even when we see a full moon, it's actually off about 5 degrees, is what they say, of direct line of sight for us. So if it's straight on, we won't see a full moon. But we have to be in direct line of sight to Jesus Christ in order to receive what we need to be able to be an accurate representation of Him. While this world slumbers in sin, we must be there reminding them of the revealing light of Jesus. And that picture came to me as I considered how this side of the world is getting light from the sun, but the back side of the world is in relative darkness. But yet on a full moon night, it's amazing how much light the moon can shed on the earth. And I just had to think of that as Christians. Are we reflecting God's light in the lives of those who are lost in sin and darkness? Moon is not a glaring light. It is not a light that is going to blind you, but it is a reminder of light at night, and we're very thankful for it at times. But only as we maintain direct line of sight will we produce and reflect warmth and light. I had to think of what do we think about when we think of light from the sun? And we could think about a lot of different things, but light is revealing. Another thing I thought about light is I think of love when I think of light. I think of a caring creator that has provided a way for this world to exist. And amazing power of that light. And if we can reflect that properly back to the world in darkness, it can be a very pleasant thing to those who are sitting in darkness. In fact, we can actually find ourselves in God's way. This thought came to me too. I have never experienced a full solar eclipse, but during a full solar eclipse, the moon can actually turn a small portion of the world to darkness. And sometimes, us as Christians, we can be pretty high-minded, I can at times, and we can really think we are something, but in reality, us of ourselves, we are nothing. It's only Christ's reflection from our life that will be a blessing to others. If we come between someone and their Creator, we can actually cause shadows. And that came to my mind. I don't have a lot of thoughts with that, but let us realize that we of ourselves, there's no good thing of ourselves. It is only Christ in us, the hope of glory. May we always realize that we are here to help in God's kingdom. We are not here to run God's kingdom, if we can consider it that way. Let us be there to be a blessing and an encouragement and at times a revealing light in people's lives. One of the challenges I was just considering is something that is my goal, and that is to strive to always be in phase or in tune with Jesus Christ. How can I find myself always in the optimal position to be an accurate representation of Jesus Christ in this world? And that very much depends on us in our relationship with Jesus. where we're at and what kind of reflection we have. Just a few thoughts on the moon itself. They say that the moon's surface reflects approximately 13% of the light that is shown on it. So that means that 87% is absorbed into the moon, the heat and light. And I had to think of our life in comparison to that. How much of that reflection of Jesus is reflected back to the world around us? Or are we very selfish, and is our life just simply made up of a bunch of craters and things that absorb rather than being a blessing to those around us? I had to think of the face of the moon. There's a lot of different craters and things that do not reflect as well. And our life can be very much that way as well. If there's a lot of things that we're struggling with all the time, we become a very dim reflection of Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing is also is the amount of light that's reflected in the different phases of the moon. When the moon is at the first or last quarter, or about 50% is you can see, it's 6 times dimmer than at full moon, even though there's 50% illuminated. And it's simply because of how it's reflected away from the earth instead of back to the earth. And in the same way, when we have when we're struggling in our life, when we have sin in our life, or things of that nature, Christ's image cannot be reflected accurately to those around us. It will be a big challenge for us in that way. In those same ways, by allowing your life to be cluttered, being self-centered, being this life being all about me and not about those around me, will very much change the way that Christ's image is reflected. We want to reflect the likeness of Jesus Christ to those around us. And one of the thoughts that I just want to leave us with is when we think of the moon, how many of us would know about the moon if it wasn't that it reflected the sun's radiance back to the earth? How many of us would even really know about it? And in the same way, let us remember that it is only Jesus Christ in us, His life in us, that makes us of any use in His kingdom. And it's just sobering to me, I guess, to consider. We can oftentimes get very caught up in our own self and our own importance and what all we can do for God, when in reality it is only through Him that we are of any use in His kingdom. So those thoughts, next time you look at the moon, just remember some of those things. It's an amazing picture of what God wants us to be for Him. God bless you.